This is Nightmares of the Americas, Indigenous Tales. The show will start in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome everybody to Nightmares of the Americas, Indigenous Tales. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Gabriel.
How are you doing today, Gabe?
I'm doing great because we got a cool episode today.
Hey, don't spoil it. Yeah, like they didn't read the title. Don't spoil it. Shh. It's a secret. Don't tell them until after we go through our stuff.
They have a podcast?
What? Whoa, this is crazy.
No, we've been keeping it a secret for a while. I just want to tell everybody.
Yeah, I know. Well, they saw the promo already, so they know what's going on. But yeah. Anyways, man, you know, had vacation. It was pretty dope. Had some other stuff going on. It was pretty dope. So I've been pretty chill. Now I got to go to the real world.
Oh yeah. You're on vacation.
Yeah. I went on a cruise away from it all.
Very nice. I'm glad your ship didn't sink.
That would have been. Oh, thanks. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for saying that. Like, hey, don't do that.
Well, you're back. You're back already.
I know. I'm alive. You're right. Oh, man. This is like this is funny. But anyway, so we're on the boat because I go fishing all the time. So you know what bad luck is on the ocean?
Saying the ship will sink?
Well, not that. That's kind of, don't say that, but I'm not talking about that.
On the ocean, saying you see a shark?
Bananas.
Bananas?
You never bring a banana on a boat. You bring a banana on a boat, it's really bad luck.
Why?
I don't know.
Heard that.
Maybe it's a fishing thing on fishing boats, or maybe it's just on the seas in general. I usually look up everything, but I didn't look up that. I don't know why. But every time we're on a fishing boat, there'll be like a kid or like some old man, and he's like, I don't care. And the kids just don't know. And they pull out a banana, and all the deckhands are like, oh, he has a banana. And everyone's like, oh, great.
They all throw him overboard.
Yeah, banana. Even Ricky now, take my 10-year-old son on the fishing boat, and he goes, he sees somebody, he goes, Daddy. And I go, what? And he goes, look. And he goes, they got a banana. And I go, oh, man. And he goes, well, I guess it ruined our whole trip. And I'm like, it hasn't even started yet. Calm down.
Make them walk the plank.
I'm raising them right. But there was a bunch of bananas on the boat because it's breakfast and stuff. And people are like, ooh, eat a nanner for breakfast.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with it.
I'm not a big banana guy. I don't like bananas. Like, they're fine, but I'm not like, ooh, I'm going to get a banana. Don't like it.
I do. I love bananas.
Even my doctor's like, your potassium's low. Eat a banana. And I said, no. She goes, eat sweet potatoes. I hate sweet potatoes.
Or can you just inject potassium into my bloodstream?
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, can I just take a potassium pill? And they're like, well, we don't like to do that. We'd rather you eat natural potassium. And I'm like, no, you don't. You like prescribing
You'll give
stuff.
Me kidney-destroying medication, but you want me to eat a banana.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, your blood pressure's normal, but we're going to give you a pill just because it might not be in the future, and you're kind of fat. I'm like, dude, I already know that. Like, you don't gotta tell me that. Yeah, that was kind of weird, but the trip was really dope. Got to hang out with some friends and meet some cool people, and there's like whole ducks thing. Everyone's collecting ducks, and then the funniest part was they like hide ducks on the cruise ships. This is like something we found out this trip, and it's like a thing that I think some little girl just decided to do it. Like a few years ago, just to make people happy. Like, oh, I'm going to hide ducks and put little notes on it so it can make people smile. So
that's, I mean, like rubber ducks?
Yeah, a little rubber, plastic. We'll start off with rubber ducks. But some people make like keychains, or they'll do like little crochet ducks. Or one person made duck air fresheners. Like, people go all out with these ducks. It's crazy.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get a bunch of ducks and I'm going to put like a QR code on it. And then I'm put like Nightmares in the Americas. And I was like, we're going to do some promo stuff on this, right? So I'm all in. And Kristen's like, well, they say you can't, like, that's breaking the rules. They don't want you to do that. And I was like, well, then fine. I'm not participating in the duck movement right now. So we didn't do it. So we got on the boat. So first day there, I'm like, oh, look, a blue duck. And I picked it up. And Kristen, it was a QR code on it. And I looked at Kristen like, son of a bitch. Like, they see, they stole my idea. And then Kristen scanned it. And it was a Jesus duck.
Oh man, see, it was like
Christian something about something. Kristen got the duck and threw it. She goes, I don't want a Jesus duck.
I want to win a fun prize.
Yeah, and she goes, they're not following the rules, which is really funny because the thing that she got mad about the most was that they didn't follow the rules. She's like, nope, no Jesus duck here. So she threw it down the hall.
Maybe the captain's superstitious. He didn't want to tell the priest that they couldn't do that.
Yeah. I was like, great. We're already going to Mexico. We're going to see all these colonized, all these monuments and stuff with all this like mission stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was all right. It was pretty dope. So we went, I had some fun, came back, survived. And now we're recording.
Yeah.
So I guess you just worked, right? You just had fun working.
Yeah, I just had
working all day. Working all day. Here I go again. Yeah.
The weather wasn't too bad, though, so I didn't die.
It hasn't been. That's what you keep saying, like, ooh, winter's over. I'm like, it raised 5 degrees. It was 65, now it's 70, but 70 is comfortable. 65 is a little too cold.
No, I mean, like, it hasn't gotten to where we're in 1,000-degree weather every day.
Oh, we will be, and it's March, so I say
like a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's all I was going to say. 2 or 3 weeks, we'll be in the 90s. And then we'll be in the 100. We'll be in the triple digits for probably, I don't know, the rest of our life, probably. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Something like that. It's usually how it goes. But anyway, you're enough banter on top. So please follow us on any of the major podcasting platforms that you listen to us on. That really helps us out a lot. If you hit that subscribe or follow, whatever the thing is, so we can have recurring episodes pop up at just automatic downloads. It helps us with our numbers and helps the show move forward. Also, if you can have your, I know Apple did this weird update where everything's different on your phone now. Like you can't, it's weird to share photos. It's weird to AirDrop. It was some kind of weird thing. Well, they turn off some of the settings for the new update on the Apple podcast download. So they're not automatically downloading anymore. So make sure you go back in your settings.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. And hit automatic download. So all your shows, if you listen to us on that platform, because then we'll just pop up. I know we took a little break because we were sick for like a few weeks, but yeah, we're back. This is like our third, fourth episode back. We got a bunch of episodes coming up. We have everything planned out. We're not taking time off anymore. So this is, this is going to keep going. But if you don't know we're back because your phone's not downloading us, I mean, that's kind of a problem. So make sure you do that. It also helps other people find us because I know on Spotify, it'll say suggested podcasts where these are also podcasts people listen to. So maybe by you doing that, it could help our numbers go up for that as well. And if you would please do us a favor and give us a 5-star review and a rating on Apple Podcast. You don't have to do on Apple. If you just do on Spotify or anything else, just 5-star review. That really helps us out as well. And as a free gift to you, what we're going to do is send you some free stickers as a thank you for giving us a 5-star rating and or review. You just have to screenshot that, send it to info@bhillnetwork.com with your mailing address and your name. So I think I have a couple of people didn't get theirs through the whole shipment. So I don't know. That was kind of weird. I'm going to send them some extra stuff just because it's been a while. I was gone for a while, but I'm back. So we're going to get some stuff. And also, if you want to check out some of our cool merch, go to indigenoustales.threadless.com. And we have sporadic sales. We just had a big sale end. We'll probably have a pretty good sale coming up in a few weeks. But make sure you follow us on our social media as well, because our social media, we let you know when we do have sales, and that's at indigenous_tales on TikTok and Instagram. And currently we are having a giveaway.
Yeah, we are.
Tell them about it, Gabe.
We're having another giveaway. It's a 3-winner giveaway, completely random. So we're not picking any favorites. It's on Instagram and on TikTok. It's the pinned post. And has all the details. The first winner is going to get any hoodie of their choice from our merch store. The second winner is going to get a zip-up jacket. And then the third winner is going to get a t-shirt. And all you got to do is just follow us, like the post, comment, and then you can tag up to 5 people for 5 entries. You can tag as many as you want, but you can only get 5 entries max. That's all you got to do.
Make sure you do that. Make sure you follow all the rules, because there's a lot of people like, man, I just never win. And then Gabe's like, well, half of them weren't like, they didn't like the post, or they didn't follow us or something like that. So you have to follow all the instructions and then you will get your entries. And let me tell you, I don't know how he generates it, but he does. There's like some kind of program he uses, and then it just, the magic wheel spins. And
yeah, it's a random wheel.
We are going through the entire month of April. Mm-hmm. So you got a lot of time. but make sure you get in on it and let all your friends know, let all your family members know. And you know what? Also, if you share our podcast on your social media, because that also helps as well, get followers organically, and then maybe they can win too. Or you just make it like, look, I told you about it, so I'm going to get your entries too. I don't know. That's your own business, not mine. Yeah. And just because you're entered on Instagram and or TikTok doesn't mean you can't enter on the other platform as well. So you can enter on Instagram, and then you could go on to TikTok and enter as well. And it's the same competition, but you'll probably have extra entries if you do it that way.
Yeah.
A little life hack. That's what they call them, right?
Yeah. Giveaway hack.
So let's get into today's episode. So we had a very amazing opportunity to interview an amazing human being, an amazing person, an amazing indigenous artist. We have a conversation with the one and only Jimmy Gomez. Some of you might know him as Taboo, as a member of the multi-platinum hip hop group, the Black Eyed Peas. But he's so much more than that. You know, he's a singer, he's a rapper, he's a dancer, he's an actor, he's a DJ, author, designer, activist, and as well as a devoted husband and loving father. And it was an amazing conversation that we had. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Man, you got the drum set back there and everything.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Yeah.
Sweet.
We got a little setup right here. You know what I mean? Guitar.
Oh, heck yeah.
We got a little MIDI controller right here.
Oh, nice. Oh, dope.
Yeah. So, you know, this is like a little pre-production where my kids come out and jam. My son Journey is following in the footsteps. He wants to be a producer. So, you know, his whole idea of wanting to immerse himself in every single aspect, not just in production, but also in how to mic the drums, how to mic his snare, his kick, the hi-hat, so that he really understands the technical aspect besides being an artist or being a producer.
Oh, that's really so cool. How old is he?
He's 12, man.
Oh, 12 sweet.
He's a 12-year-old little... Yeah, he's focused, he's energetic, he's enthusiastic, and the most important thing is that he loves to do it. So that's probably going to be my next, the next person, besides my other son, Jalen. He's the guitar player, singer, but Journey's like the producer. Like he wants to produce in the space of like his idea of production is being able to not only learn the instrument, but also wanted to find ways to put it all together. You know, just like for me, I started as a b-boy, man, breakdancing. Oh, Black Eyed Peas, we started as b-boys back in the days in the 90s, you know, and a lot of cyphers, battles. And so we came up on that element, and then we got into MCing, and then, you know, the performance aspect came along with the b-boying and the MCing, and we've always been hardcore hip-hop heads, you know, even though our music was a little bit more popular around the world, like our first instinct will always be hip hop, and our love and foundation will always be hip hop. That's how we started. That's how we met. So cool.
Yeah, dude, honestly, we're b-boys at heart.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. I'm 6 years younger than Joseph, but growing up, I was always hanging out with him, my older brother, and always breakdancing and in the front yard with the cardboard, like not only him in the grass breakdancing. So
all the time.
Yeah.
That's it, man. Yeah. Like 98, 99. Like I was out there in high school doing all that stuff. We'd go to competitions, but we're from Bakersfield. So it's not like it's LA, but we're from Bakersfield. Yeah.
Salute to Bakersfield, because I got to admit that Nick V and Eric V, the Baker Boys, put us on the map when it came to the visibility and the sound being heard by the people of Los Angeles on Power 106. And I know that the Baker Boys have been doing their thing for many years. Yeah. So when he said Bakersfield, the connection with Eric V and Nick V, for all the love that they had for our first record, Behind the Front, when we first came out with Gedesis and Falling Up, like those dudes were spinning the records on vinyls, bro. Mm-hmm. This is 98. That was 98. They're spinning the records on vinyls. So, you know, Bakersfield, salute to the Baker Boys, but also to the Bakersfield relatives that have been rocking with us since day one.
It's awesome. Yeah, I met actually my wife remembers me breakdancing at one of her high school's prep rally, and then we met from there. Now, you know, it's the history, but we've been married for a while now. But you know, it, you know, brings everyone together. Pretty dope thing.
Yeah, man, that's dope. It's like us, you know, the gatherings that we go to, whether we're at a round dance for my northern relatives, or we're, you know, at a at a jammy jam in the b-boy community, or we're at a gathering of nations or a powwow, just having a good time. You know, I think dance is the thing that brings us all together, no matter what walk of life you come from, what culture, creed. There's always a beautiful intersection between dance, prayer, healing, storytelling, and all that, you know. And that's why I think hip hop culture spoke to each one of us, myself, Will.i.am, and Apple Diap, because we are from different ethnic backgrounds. You know, Apple came from the Philippines in 1989. The first person he met was Will.i.am, and Will.i.am is African-American or Black from East L.A. So he grew up with a lot of Mexican friends and relatives that he saw as his own family. I, Native Mexican, wanting to really connect with my roots and understand the beautiful power that is being indigenous, that is being a L.A. urban native. Still learning, man. I'm always educating myself, bro, because you're born in L.A. You're not from right. The res. You're not, you know, speaking Spanish fluently. So it's like all this crazy stuff is always implemented in our heads as urban natives that you're not enough, you know. So I always felt like, okay, well, hip hop culture is going to show how you can just embody styles and disciplines and be proud of where you come from and continue learning and educating yourself as a student and not be afraid to say, I don't know everything about all aspects of it, but I want to continue learning. And I think that's why I reached out to you guys, is because you guys have an innate way of connecting to Indian country, but also bringing in pop culture, bringing in the tales, the storytelling, you know, the fact that you guys are nerds like me into toys and action figures and, you know, books and comic books and all the crazy stuff we're all into. But that's what brings us all together, man. That's what connects the dots and makes us all united as one.
Yeah. I mean, so when I grew up, when I turned 18 and went to the military, and you feel that kind of disconnection with, am I enough? You know, like they would ask you, okay, like, what are you? And it's like, okay, well, Shumash. And then, you know, then they want to know everything about it. And it's like, dude, I don't have all the answers, you know, like, we didn't grow up on the res as well. We grew up in Bakersfield. Yeah. We have a lot of family that's still on the reservation, but we didn't. So we hear stories. Yeah. We hear stories from our grandmother, and I heard your grandmother was just like a very important person in your life,
bro. You know, like, you know, it's funny because I grew up with my grandmother's influence. She was the matriarch of my tribe, man, and she was from Jerome, Arizona. Never claimed L.A. She was always she was proud of being a Native woman from Arizona, Jerome, Arizona. There was no better place for her. She loved her community. She loved her small town. She loved all the neighboring relatives from, you know, whether it was Hopi or the Navajo Dene or, you know, just everybody that was there surrounding the Yaquis from Sonora. It was a territory prior to it being a state, right? So before it became a state, it was a territory. And all my ancestry comes from Jerome, Arizona. I grew up with knowing that more than I did my roots in Sonora. Even though my grandfather was from Sonora, I didn't go to Sonora. I never connected with it as much as I connected with my tribal community on my grandmother's side. So growing up, I wanted to make sure that I learn and educate myself and not claim to know everything, because then you get caught up out there trying too hard, man. And I never want to be that guy. You see the pictures I sent you, dude. You see the old school pictures of me in the 90s rocking the braids. Yeah. I was the only guy in hip hop rocking like that, bro. We didn't have no kids representing Indian country back then. So it's funny because I see like all these people asking like, oh, so when did you connect with, bro, this ain't no when did you connect. This is day one, bro. This is when I started my career as Black Eyed Peas in 1995. The funny thing is we were all different nationalities, but Will and Apple always knew that my pride as a Native storyteller and an Indigenous man wanting to represent hip hop was always at the forefront. And so that was kind of like the introduction to be able to put my stamp as like, I want to lead the charge. I want to be a voice for Indian country. But I didn't understand it until I got to Standing Rock. And unfortunately, you got to go through all these trials and tribulations and all these missteps and all these landmines that you might step on because you don't know everything, that you get to a place where you find healing and you find a way to be an advocate. You find a way to be a voice and not try to be like, I speak for all of us. I don't speak for all of us. I only speak as one of us, because that's the important part for me. If I could continue teaching and learning, because I want to teach the youth, bro, to be proud, no matter what nationality you are. I'm going on a tangent, but it's coming out. It's a stream of consciousness that I have to get out, because you started talking about my grandmother. And the reason why I do all these different, you know, give backs to beautiful relatives like yourselves is because my grandmother's telling me to do that. My grandmother's leading me to the connecting of the dots with all my relatives throughout Indian country. She led me to you guys because you guys are making such an impact to our youth. Your storytelling, your podcast, the way that you carry yourselves as brothers, as family, you inspired me enough for me to reach out to you and be like, yo, let's do this. Let's rock this, and let's show the world how we connect and bring each other up and not be on that crabs in a bucket mentality where we're bringing each other down. Pull it, blood quantum. Talk about pretend Indian and all that shit.
All that stuff.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, dude, forgive my language. I'm very passionate when I speak because it's become a thing. It's become like a new buzzword, like this thing, this energy of like bringing each other down. I'm like, man, I am not going to go down that route. I would be a hypocrite if I were bringing my natives down, but and I'm the guy that said, where is the love?
Right.
The love, right?
Yeah.
I wrote a song called Where's the Love, bro? So that being said, I want to lead with love, and I want to salute and show ultimate respect to all our relatives all throughout Indian country. And I bring it back full circle because my grandmother said so.
That's amazing.
Well, that means a lot to us, man, that you like what we're doing. And that's our whole point of the show. We wanted to tell stories. We wanted to share stories. We wanted to keep everything moving, right? Because we figured if we do this podcast and we're telling stories out there, then they're going to be around forever because the digital world is staying around for a very long time. Right? So we want to do that, and we want to spread all this love. And we're all about bringing everybody up as well, right? There's no reason to take everyone down. And the blunt quantum thing is, you know, it's the same thing. You know, you have people that want to be gatekeepers that want to say it's not enough. But you know what? There's enough love for everybody. We could all get along. And let's all just celebrate each other. And we, you know, we talk about Nightmares of the Americas, Indigenous Tales, because we talk about all the nightmares that happened in the States, Canada, North and South America. But we also celebrate Indigenous people and Indigenous communities. So that's why it's an amazing thing to have someone like yourself who's done so much and has been an advocate for natives from day one, like you said.
Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, Standing Rock, that's an amazing thing. You went there. Tell us a little bit about when you went to Standing Rock.
Yo, so that changed my life, man. Like, I was battling cancer in 2014, and that's why we took a big break. You know, Black Eyed Peas, from 2011, we took a break until 2019 when we came out with our first single, which was Ritmo, off of the Bad Boys 3 soundtrack. But during that time period of being on a hiatus, as they called it, I was battling cancer. So I got hit with cancer in 2014, and I did chemotherapy. It was like war, torture, and a nightmare all in one. And I had visions of my grandmother saying, keep your hands in the soil, stay connected to Mother Earth, stay connected to Mother Earth. And at that time, I was looking for healing. And so my last day of chemo in September, I was seeing all these different relatives going throughout Indian country, kind of posting about the Osheti camp. And I started seeing relatives that I'm like, yo, oh, he's, where are, Yo, I got to be there, right? So something told me that I needed to be there, not as Taboo from Black Eyed Peas, but as Jimmy Gomez, a relative that will stand in solidarity with the rest of the water protectors. And that was my calling. And so I took my oldest son, Josh, who is now 30. It was about father and son being there in solidarity. It was not a freaking picture for Instagram. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't for like anything other than my intention and my motive was pure to be there as a relative in solidarity. And then I started seeing all these beautiful ceremonies happening. And I went into the sacred circle, the drum circle, and I started hearing the elders speak. And they started kind of giving me this beautiful sense of like, yo, this is exactly where I need to be. Then I started asking questions. How can I be of service? How can I make it from this music business, who's, when it's always about me, how can I channel that and be, make it about we? How can we inspire? How can we get the message out? How can we continue to lead by example and inspire our seven generations. And so from that point on, it was like this light bulb click. And I was like, yo, that's it. I am going to become a voice, humbly, respectfully, not overtly and trying to be like too much, because then it's trying too hard. Mm-hmm. And I'm not about that. So what I did was I created this beautiful, beautiful contribution with seven indigenous artists. MC1, Dreezus, Superman, Doc and Spence, PJ Vegas, and then a beautiful MC, Taino. Her name is My Verse. And we created the Standing Rock song, which we just wanted to put out as like a way to bring up the spirits of the Water Protectors and all the allies that came from all over the world to stand in solidarity. And when we did the Stand Up, Standing Rock, No Dapple song, it felt right, man. It felt like this is the next iteration of what I'm going to be doing outside of Black Eyed Peas, because this is my calling. Each P has a calling, right? Mm-hmm. This is my calling. I need to stand. I need to stand up with the First Nations and the people that have been living here for thousands of years. Stand up. We've been fighting for our freedom since the Nina and the Pinta and the Santa Maria. Stand up like Geronimo, Red Bull, Crazy Horse.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, yeah. It was just... Sorry, I got caught up in my rap.
No, go for it. Oh, yeah. We're feeling it. That was dope.
Sorry, dude. I got caught up in my rap. No, but what I was saying is I wrote those lyrics feeling like I needed to say it because I hadn't really spoke on that in a long time. I did Spanish raps, which was kind of like, okay, I'm going to show you one aspect of my identity. And I remember Apple said in 1997 on my first rap, on a song called Que Dices, he says, we be falling up like growing. People don't be knowing them styles. We be showing extraterrestrial, complete show them extraterrestrials. Well, I am. Shoshone man, that's me. Bring on the spirit, float them up in the air into their atmosphere. Let them know we're cooking some shit right here. There's no way of knowing where we're going from here. So this is the 90s talking about Shoshone man, right?
Yeah.
So in that time period, Bridging the Gap Behind the Front album in 1997, people would know that there's a Shoshone kid from the Black Eyed Peas from that time period representing, right? But probably the lyrics didn't really, they probably didn't understand what Apple was saying. But at that time, that's when I first kind of introduced the idea of where I wanted to go and how I wanted to represent as an indigenous man. And so Standing Rock opened my eyes to be able to do more, to continue being of service humbly, respectfully, and make sure that I follow protocol, man. Protocol is a bitch in Indian country.
Yeah, it is.
Seriously, dude, it's crazy because you can't just be impulsive and try to like, yeah, I'm going to do it. No.
Right.
You'll get checked by elders. You'll get checked by gatekeepers. You'll get checked by the purists that'll try to pull cards and try to like, you know, dissect. But at the end of the day, it always comes with love. So even if people are sending negative frequencies towards me, I always lead with love, with all due respect. I always lead with love. That's what I always say. You know, I'll see comments and I'll be like, yo, with all due respect, I want to lead with love and I want to salute, blah, blah, blah. Because I know that I'm an elder statesman now. I've been in the music business since 1995, bro. It's 2024.
Yeah.
I've done everything in the music business, everything you could think about. But what I haven't done is create opportunities to the biggest scale, to the massive scale that I want to for Indian country. That's my goal. I want to create the ultimate hub of indigenous excellence throughout the world, not just in North America, throughout Turtle Island, through Brazil, through Mexico, through Australia, where you have your Aboriginal relatives, Brazil, the Amazon, Mexico, you have Maya and Mexica, mm-hmm. Azteca, all these different. Yeah, dude. Yes. Like, that's my calling, bro. That's where I want to go with it. And I know I'm speaking a lot, but I want you to know this is the platform that I want to get to be able to say as much as I can so people can really understand where my heart is. I'm speaking with heart. I speak with a certain transparency. I speak with being candid, and I speak with full honesty, and that's from the heart.
Yeah, that's what we love about you so far. You've been so like, you know, you just say what you're going to say.
Like, we're having a conversation, you know. I think the fact that, you know, Creator put us in a situation where we can have this beautiful ping pong session back and forth, but also learn from each other and get a sense of understanding of who we are. Yeah. I don't know who you guys are, but I like who you guys are. What I see, what I hear, the way you package yourself, the way you put your content up. Like, I fell in love with that version of you. And now to understand who you guys are, to understand that you're in the military, to understand the beauty that is your community as a Chumash relative. Like, that's dope, man. I love learning about that stuff. So I salute you.
Yeah, that means a lot.
We appreciate that again. And, you know, this is like a great time to be indigenous. And I know a lot of people say that, but this is really a great time because with all these different platforms, we're able to get our voices out. Mm-hmm. We're able to be seen. And there's different representation going on in media now, which I really like. Before, I've heard you say it before on different shows, different interviews and stuff, where we don't always have to be the villain.
Yeah.
Right. Now we could be the hero, because in the past you see all these, we talk about different things on our show and it always comes back to, like, you know, spaghetti westerns where there's an Italian dude that's painted tan and now he's the bad guy. So,
or just the typical, like, you know, majestic, mysterious character in the background. Yeah. Stuff like that too.
Well, that's why, you know, I grew up on Billy Jack, watching Tom Laughlin, Billy Jack in the 80s, and watching Bruce Lee. Because I was big on martial arts, kung fu theater, black belt theater.
Oh yeah.
Because I was a nerd, bro. I was into WWF superstars, wrestling and martial arts and freaking hip hop, breakdancing, skateboarding, lucha libre. I was into all of it, man, because I just was a student of different styles and techniques. And, you know, it was all performance to me. Mm-hmm. So when I would see these skaters, or I would see these, these wrestlers, and Hulk Hogan would be hyping up the crowd, would just going like this, putting his ear, like those type of moments for me as a kid. I was like, yo, I want to be an entertainer. I want to rock a crowd like that. 40, 50,000 people screaming. the ultimate warrior coming down, shaking the rope. All that energy, bro, like, I grew up on it. So I was always looking for indigenous representation that could speak to me, that wasn't, because we're not monolith, right? So I wanted something that's very, like I could be proud. And I could stand up and be like, yo, whether we're talking about Jim Thorpe or we're talking about freaking, Trudell or Redbone. Redbone, bro. Like, when I saw Redbone.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, let's go. Redbone. It was like everybody rocked to it. Mm-hmm. And so that was the energy. It's like, yo, if we can get on that Redbone frequency of Coming Get Your Love and everybody could rock with it, and people are not like, oh, it's the native guys doing it. It's like, no, I just love the song. Oh, wait.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that was the vibe. It's like, the let the talent and the art speak for itself first, and then you find out, oh snap, that's all, those guys are native, dope. That's the vibe.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. So you said you've been getting into, like, activism and stuff like that as your calling, and, you know, we talk about a lot of horrible things and stuff. What do you have to say about political prisoner Letter Peltier?
Oh man, that's why I said it in my rap. You know, like, I didn't finish it, but it's like, you know, I gave ultimate respect because I said, like Geronimo, Sitting Bull, Red Cloud, Crazy Horse, Leonard Peltier, and Standing Rock.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, I'm giving you a lot of OGs from the past. Let me give you an amazing relative that's still being held down, you know, Leonard Peltier. So I've been campaigning a lot on Twitter with their page, with the IG, with their Twitter page, trying to just lend my voice, be an advocate. Carlos Santana, a couple others have really been, especially in the music space or with a platform like us, where we can actually reach a broader audience and, you know, speak from the heart and say, yo, our brother's injustice is needs to be known. The fact that he's still in prison, and it just, it hurts, because I know that Leonard Peltier is a focal figure for us as Native people to be able to have people that are activists, but also that make a difference. Like, when you see him And you know that it's like, you know, the Nelson Mandelas of the world, the Julio Cesar Chavez of the world, and the Leonard Peltiers of the world. Like, they're all kind of in that same vein. And, you know, it's beautiful to be able to lend my voice and just be that person that from a popular demographic, be that person, that bridge. Because I'm in pop culture, man. Black Eyed Peas is in popular culture. That's the reality, bro. Yeah. And so I always say I'm a bridge. I'm a bridge between pop culture and Indian country. And so if I can highlight the movement, whether it's Standing Rock, Native Nations March, Leonard Peltier, Indigenous Peoples Day, I'm all about it, bro, because there's not that a lot of us doing that. You know, you have like great moments that are now becoming momentum with the Lily Gladstones of the world and the, you know, the Res Dogs of the world. Like, that's, it's powerful. The Quanah Roses, the D Farrells, like all these amazing relatives that are doing their thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what's amazing about right now is just, and especially for us, because we do have a platform that we can speak up on, and we do have a lot of listeners out there from all around the world. And it's amazing that we can talk about stuff like MMIW, you know, injustices toward Indigenous people, and people are actually listening and getting involved in the conversation. So when you're able to speak up, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah, man.
And there's a lot of people who don't know, understand, or know what we're talking about. A lot of, when you talk about certain things, they think it's kind of like sci-fi, because you wouldn't believe that the government would do something like this, right? Well, we kind of believe because we've kind of lived it.
Yeah,
right? From experience. So our grandfather said, our grandfather was never registered as an Indian, because he didn't want the government to track him.
Yeah.
And he said, if they do it once, they could do it again. Correct. So he wasn't going to do that. And I mean, Leonard Peltier, going back to him, he's been in prison for 49 years. And the FBI even came out on his first, I think it was his first appeal or first for parole. It was in 2009. And they said, we don't have the evidence. Like, we made this up. And they said, well, guess what? We're going to keep him in prison. We're going to let those FBI agents, we're going to move them to some other side. And now he doesn't have anybody speaking for him, right? So to get those stories out there, to let them know that this isn't science fiction, this is something that's real, that's happening, that is currently happening to one of our elders. And it's kind of ridiculous. And when people hear those things, it really resonates with them, because it's like almost shell shock, right? Yeah. They just can't understand. Mm-hmm. It's just so mind blowing that this would happen to someone in modern day.
I know.
But
I mean,
that's what it is.
We deal with all these conversations and ways to be able to learn and educate the world outside of Indian country, you know, because a lot of, like you said, man, a lot of people don't even know that we're still around. Like, people don't know around the world. They don't know the native struggle and the fact that we are thriving and making impact, you know, like the perspective and the isolation of res life has caused a disconnect between the world and what's really happening on Turtle Island. You know, a lot of folks don't even know about the difference between different tribes, the, you know, the over 500 registered tribes that we have, the idea of, you know, the boarding schools, that the catastrophe of boarding schools in Canada and the United States, right? Like, people have no idea about that around the world, bro. And that's why it's important for us to, like you said, use our platform, lend our voice, and really make a difference if we can, you know, and we can't fix everything. We can't be the problem solvers to everything. But what we can do is continue getting better information so we can inspire. And you inspire one person, next thing you know, you're inspiring a million people with the words of wisdom. And, you know, each one teach one. And that's how I see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an amazing thing that we have right now that we can do. And, you know, just, you know, changing gears right here. So I know that you're not only just like a rapper, an artist, a leader right now in the Indigenous community, because you're showing your voice, but you also have written a couple books. Can you tell us about the books that you've written?
Yeah, man. So you see the smile on my face, because once again, grandma's lighting me up right now. My grandmother passed away in 1996, but she's always with me, dude. Like, my grandmother led the way when it came to entertainment, performance, storytelling. So my storytelling started when I was in my backyard playing with my G.I. Joes, creating stories, creating forts, all these different, you know, little innuendos that I was creating as a kid and making these beautiful stories become part of my everyday life. And so that storytelling in my backyard playing with action figures turned out to become music. Started rapping, started making stories and ways to be descriptive about things that were happening in my surroundings, whether it was like Where's the Love, which we wrote on the heels of 9/11, you know, Stand Up, Standing Rock, which was happening during Standing Rock. You know, these are the moments that created a story and a way to communicate those stories through frequencies of music or sound. And then I said to myself, like, I want to inspire my kids beyond just music. So I started writing books. The first book I wrote was a Marvel comic with my partner, B. Earl, who is also a writer at Marvel. We wrote Werewolf by Night, and we didn't want to make it like Twilight, like, oh, the werewolf, the native guy.
Right.
Yeah. That ain't happening, bro. I ain't going that way. Yeah. It's not Twilight. So we made it about Jake Gomez being cursed by his Mexican dad in Mexico from a Mexican curse, not from his native side. It has to do with the temple that he walked into in Mexico, and his dad was from a Mexican biker gang. So I dove into that side of my own identity, wanting to always represent, bro. I'm not going to run away from it. You know, when people ask me like, yo, how do you balance the identity of representing both cultures? I've been doing it, man. I love it. I love being able to speak Spanish, go to Mexico, learn how to communicate with my Aztec relatives and my Mayan relatives, but then go to Indian country and connect with my Navajo relatives and, you know, my Seminole relatives in Florida. It's all these beautiful moments that keep on educating me and informing me on how I can grow, right? So from that, all that information, I was able to apply that into the book writing and getting the right relatives to actually look at the writing to see if things are accurate. Like if I'm doing a book on Kashala, who is Apache, I went to Tony Duncan, who's an Apache from Arizona, to be like, yo, Tony, is this right? What do you think about this? And he would give me some feedback and be like, nah, we wouldn't say that. Say it like this. Let's change it like this. So we actually bring relatives who are from those tribes so that we give them a voice and represent from their perspective, an authentic perspective, to show love to Indian country through the Marvel platform. And so
that's amazing.
Yeah, dude, it was awesome because I brought my relatives to the party. It was like, let me break down the door over here in Marvel. Because they've been doing it wrong, son.
Gosh.
They've been fucking it up. They've been doing it wrong. They've been doing it whitewash.
Definitely. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We can't do the whole like woo-hoo feathers and all that shit. We're not going to do that. We're going to change it up. Red Wolf, who is an old character, I changed him up to look like Billy from Predator. Remember Billy from Predator? The guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I wanted him to be like buff and like with tactical gear, not all like freaking war paint and all that shit. I was like, no, we're not going to do that, bro. We modern, bro. We're going to show the world how we can rock and still have dope storytelling, kind of hint to the past, but keep it modern. Keep it in the 2020s, right? Because I put it out in 2020. And then after that was Kashala 2021. That was the, along with Doctor Strange. 2022 was Deadly Neighborhood Spider-Man. That shit went dope, bro. Man,
the artwork on that is amazing, by the way.
Thanks, bro. To be able to write the first indigenous Spider Woman, her name is Crystal Katani, Dream Spider. She's the one in purple. Like, yo,
yeah.
I was like, I was inspired and motivated because it came from the energy of being a grandma's boy. I was like, how can I make a female matriarch be a powerful component to this story? Oh, I'm gonna bring a Spider Woman that happens to be indigenous because I'm representing for my grandmother and put her in the story. And guess what? I'm going to bring Spider-Man to Pasadena because that's where I live because he's always in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've never done it like that. But guess what, bro? They gave me carte blanche. They said, do what you got to do. So along with my partner, B. Earl, we brought Spider-Man, Peter Parker, to Pasadena, where the Rose Bowl is at because we rocked the Rose Bowl. And then after that, I was able to do Daredevil and Echo, and that was on the heels of Echo having her television show. So salute to the the folks that made that, Sidney Freeland and all the relatives that rocked on that show. And then during that time period, I wrote a book that I invested in this company called The Kids Book About Identity. Because like I told you, man, I've been dealing with identity for a long time. It's like not Native enough, not Mexican enough. Don't speak Spanish right. You're not from the res. You know, so all these weird components and weird like little daggers that people throw at you when you're an urban native about identity. And I love this quote. I want to read you this quote. It's by a guy named Che Jim. And he did this quote on Indigenous TV. And I was like, yo, this is a dope ass quote because it speaks to us and it speaks to us in different ways where we can actually share this information with a lot of kids that may be insecure and feel like, you know, they don't have a place. They don't feel welcome. They don't feel like they belong because they're always told you're not enough. And that's why I wrote the book, The Kids Book About Identity, because I always felt like, damn, where do I go? So he says, it doesn't matter if you grew up on the res, off the res, in the city, out in the country, as a full blood, as a mixed blood, culturally connected or culturally disconnected, you're enough.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I follow him. I've been following him for a while. He's an awesome guy. And I completely agree with that. And a lot of our listeners, we've had comments, messages saying exactly that, asking us like, I don't feel like I belong because I don't know certain things, or I don't speak my language the right way and stuff like that. And I think people really struggle with that. So to hear something like that is so important because, like you said, identity is just, I mean, it means everything.
Bro.
And that quote really resonates with everyone. I mean, that's an amazing quote.
Yeah. I've kind of just wanted to salute Chad Jim and take a moment to share that inspirational quote, because I was like, yo, man, that speaks to me on so many levels. My kids are mixed too. You know, my wife's Filipino. I was blessed to be able to be a part of a group that was all about multiculturalism. Our talent was first, not the fact that we were different nationalities. It's like, no, we have a brotherhood that is intrinsic to our love for breakdancing, that our love for making music. And the idea of supporting each other's backgrounds and learning from each other and have a cultural exchange. Like, that's what Black Eyed Peas is, man. To keep it 100, to keep it 1,000 with everybody. Like, Black Eyed Peas is a brotherhood, and it's been a brotherhood since day one. You know, we've had all these different female singers, but the reality is Black Eyed Peas will always be, has always been, to this day, 2024, myself, Will I Am, and Apple Dia.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's powerful, man. Because I think that's what it is. I mean, people need to look past all the differences and find the similarities.
Yep.
And when you find the similarities, I think it's like your song says, where's the love, right? Like, you could share the love and spread the love as long as you find the similarities. Stop focusing on the differences.
Correct.
That's a little thing.
Yeah, man.
But we need to celebrate each other. You can celebrate each other's culture and still not be cultural appropriation, right? That's another thing that's really big, is everyone's focusing on, well, you're appropriating their culture. Are you celebrating their culture? Because there's a difference.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it is too with our listeners as well. A lot of them, they don't feel enough. They feel like they might be doing something wrong. They don't want to be offensive. And like you said, there's certain things you can do and can't do in Indian country as well. Sure. Right? You got to walk the line.
Yeah.
And a lot of things too is listen to your elders out there, everybody. Listen to your elders if you have elders with you.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that'll tell you straight facts. They don't like to sugarcoat it. They'll just let you know what it is. And you got to celebrate them as well. And, you know, they're not going to be around forever. So you have to love them, love on them as much as you can while they're here on Turtle Island.
Yeah.
I mean, you heard me say my grandmother 1,000 times in this interview, bro. My elder, like, there was nobody bigger. There was nobody stronger. There was nobody mightier than my grandmother. Like, my grandmother could go toe to toe with anybody, bro. Like, she was just a powerful, powerful force in my world, in my ethos. The fact that she inspired me to be so proud of our roots and our ancestry is something to be said, man. Because, you know, like, my mom was a very impactful person in my life, but not like my grandmother, bro. My grandmother she just embodied Jerome, Arizona, the pride, the native pride, the the indigenous, force that she was. She embodied indigenous excellence. Every time I saw her, I just always felt like, wow, she's a powerful being. And, you know, it's hard when it's your own blood or your own relative to see that. But dude, like I was so in love with the idea of the motivation and the fire that my grandmother instilled in me as a young kid.
Yeah. And like you said, how she's still with you. I mean,
yes, sir.
Just you doing everything that you do, your career, all your accomplishments, how you're inspired so many people. I mean, it just, that only proves that she's still with you and guiding you. So that's amazing.
Yeah, man. She would be more proud than anything on all the stuff that I've been doing in Indian country, more than anything, mm-hmm. bro. Cause she's like, yo, you're giving back. You're putting it down. You're lighting the light, lighting the fire for the rest of the relatives, inspiring the youth, learning from your mistakes. Cause I've made a lot of mistakes, mm-hmm. bro. I'm being honest, dude. I've made like missteps, but I've learned from it to understand that, like, how can I better myself and have a better understanding on not stepping on those landmines and the trickiness that is, as we said, Joseph, the protocol, mm-hmm. and all the things that come with, you know, learning and wanting to continue growing, because I want to teach my kids too, man. This is an LA kid from Los Angeles, from East LA, who grew up in a world of, you know, multiculturalism, which is Los Angeles, mm-hmm. Tongva land, who connected with his grandmother, my grandmother was so connected to her roots, but she was in LA that it didn't really connect, because I didn't see that. I didn't see what she grew up with in Jerome, Arizona. She was part of the boarding schools. And, you know, I saw a picture of when they had to wear the westernized clothing, mm-hmm. and how they cut their hair. And I was like, yo, this is crazy. I have a picture of my grandmother. Yo, bro, it's crazy. I have a picture of my grandmother and my aunts and uncles, and they're wearing the westernized clothing that they were forced to wear. So when I see that, I'm like, yo, dude, our relatives have been through a lot so that we can have, you know, the space that we're in right now. Like, they had to go through it. They had to be the martyrs and the folks that had the trauma, the years and years of intergenerational trauma, to be able to give us the fire to go after our dreams and aspirations, to have podcasts, to be performing at the halftime show at the Super Bowl, to win Grammys, to go up at the Oscars, to have TV shows on Fox, FX, you know, like all these moments that became momentum because our elders and our ancestors laid the way. We always have to acknowledge that and pay it homage.
Yeah, the resilience, man. I mean, we're a resilient people. Our elders went through so much. You know, like you said, the boarding schools, the missions. We've talked about that before. We've had family. Our great, great, great grandmother was part of the missions and was killed in the missions. And, you know, it's something that it's hard to talk about, but we have to talk about it because, we, like you said, we have to give that acknowledgement to what they've been through to get us to where we are today.
Yep, exactly, dude. And that's the beauty is the understanding and the welcoming, mm-hmm. the conversation that may be uncomfortable to some people.
Yeah.
A lot of times we're uncomfortable to talk about these, mm-hmm. things. But now, what if we welcome the idea of having those uncomfortable conversations so that we can have a peace of mind and we can resolve together and move forward? Because it's about moving forward. It's how you connect with people, mm-hmm. right? It's like the idea is how we evolve, how we experiment with the idea, and then how we execute the idea.
Yeah.
Those three E's. Those are the most important things for moving forward, because you're getting all this information and you're wanting to apply it to have empathy, to have love, to have respect for the past, but also wanting to teach the kids to hold on to what the future brings. And that's why I said the seven generations, three in the past, three forward and one present. So that idea is always important so that we could continue inspiring the kids. That's all. That's what I'm all about, man.
Right. And speaking the truth. I mean, the truth is the number one thing. There's the truth that the history books give you, but there's actually the real truth too. So speaking about the missions itself,
yes, sir.
It's like, it's kind of mind-boggling when you really break down the missions in general. It's you have a Indian country taken over by Spanish, and then the Spanish strip you of your language. And now you have to learn Spanish, and then the U.S. government takes over, and then they want you to speak English, and they get upset with you when you speak Spanish, right? So it's almost like a lose. But when you break down those scenarios, like in our show when we did the episode on the missions, it brings about a conversation, mm-hmm. and a lot of people start getting this different feeling of like, okay, wow, I didn't really think of it that way, but here in California, I mean, missions are all over the place, right? Yeah. So they're in our face all the time. And, you know, my daughter is 12 years old and she had to go through the whole thing with California schooling, and there was the missions, and she didn't do it, right? Because we were telling her what actually happened and not what the school system is teaching her. So I think with a lot of truth too, comes a conversation, and that also furthers our generation as well, because there's a lot of things that schools teach you, but there's a lot of things that your elders can teach you too that that are not really well known, but or not really well accepted, I should say, in the school system. So that's something that's really amazing too. The book that you wrote, that's a kid book, right? The kid book on identity, that's what you said?
Yeah, man. I feel like I'm going into this kid space, dude, because I love inspiring the youth. I love what I do when my daughter's is in, you know, when we're going to bed and she's like, "Dad, can you read me a book?" And I'm reading her a book, and the voices that we're making, because we're also doing voice work together, mm-hmm. Which I want to announce on this podcast. I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, but I also want to announce on this podcast that I've been blessed to be able to use my acting ability as a voice actor to, first of all, have my first experience as a voice actor with my son, Jalen, on Spirit Rangers with Carissa Valencia, which that was in 2020, 2021. Mm-hmm. And Spirit Rangers is on Netflix. So that was a great, great opportunity to connect with my son on the voiceover work. And now I was blessed to be able to have voiceover work on Nickelodeon on the new Dora reboot with my daughter, Jet, who's 8. And so, you know, just the idea of being able to get into voice acting, writing books, animation, storytelling that inspires kids, making music for these, you know, these different animation projects, hopefully a feature film one day. Like, that's where my heart is, man, because like I said, my grandmother was an adult inspiring a kid at 5 years old. So that inspiration was so natural. It was so beautifully done that I want to continue that same premise of inspiring the kids. Black Eyed Peas is not specifically for the kids. Right. Even though we have songs that kids like, it's right. not marketed to kids. Mm-hmm. So if I can do, create content that speaks specifically to a kid's demographic, inspires families, has a good time while we're doing it. Like, that's where I want to go, man, because I want to keep it 100. Like, that's where I'm at. That's who I am. I don't have anything to hide other than the fact that I'm a big nerd. And that's out in the open. I'm a nerd, bro. I'm a Comic-Con guy. I'm a toy guy. I'm a comic kid. I'm a kid from the 80s that loved, you know, horror movies and thrillers. I love hip hop. BMX bikes. So it's just all these nerdy things that I grew up on. And it's beautiful to be a nerd. Like, I was, you know, I grew up with people looking at nerds as like outcasts and people that you don't want to be connected to. But I'm like, man, those are the CEOs now. Those are the guys that, you know, they have podcasts.
Yeah, man. Those, I mean,
we're the coolest guys now.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I got a bunch of Batman books and all kinds of stuff.
Right, see my there turtles is, right there. Got some vintage turtles right there.
Yeah. No, well, you brought it up, so I'm going to talk about it then. So let's swing into horror, because I'm a big horror guy. I do like every October on my Instagram and stuff, I'm always like, all right, even on the show, I'm like, all right, every day I'm doing a horror movie. So I like 80s, 70s horror movies, some 90s stuff, but like Hotel Hell, you know, like the cheesy, corny kind of stuff like that.
B-horror,
B-rated and stuff. Bats with Lou Diamond Phillips, stuff like, you know, just nerdy stuff like that. I go all in. I don't care. I just, every time there's a nerdy 80s movie. I'm like, all right, cool. Go on the show, go on whatever streaming service there is and find some different shows. What were some of the, like, I like Evil Dead series, like Evil Dead. Oh my gosh. Ash for Evil Dead. Amazing. Fangoria, like you were talking about, emailed us Fangoria magazine.
Bro, Fangoria.
I mean, gosh, like all that stuff. And when I remember when I was growing up, my parents were real. We didn't grow up with a lot of money, so they'd take us to places. And every time I saw like comic books at thrift stores or something, or horror books or whatever, I'm like, okay, I got to grab those quarter, 10 cents, whatever, and take those. And like the 90s and stuff. What were some of your favorite? What are some of your favorite 80s, 90s horror, 70s? Yeah. All your horror movies.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go 70. I'm gonna start 70s because
okay,
I always got freaked out. It was gory, but it was great because it was based on an old school killer named Ed Gein. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original. Tobe Hooper. Tobe Hooper, classic.
Yeah. Oh, man.
The OG Leatherface.
Yes.
I mean, bro, like, for me, that was in the 70s, that's that one. And, of course, you know, you grew up on watching, like, Alfred Hitchcock. Like, I don't know if you go deep into that, too. Because those were, Birds. You know, it's like, it's a stamp. Mm-hmm. Birds, yeah. Base Hotel, I mean, Psycho, all mm-hmm. that stuff is part of culture, right? But then you get deep into like the From Beyond and the Creep Show of the 80s, you know what I'm saying?
Heck
the
yeah.
cheesy ones that had like all these actors that were involved in it. And then, you know, of course, like Ghoulies. Remember mm-hmm. Ghoulies?
Mm-hmm.
That was easy. But I liked it. I always felt fascinated by it. And then you go into like classics like Nightmare on Elm Street, The Dream Warriors, Part 1, Part 2. When Johnny Depp was a cameo, bro.
Oh,
Johnny
Depp. I remember that. Oh, Johnny gosh.
Depp, it was his first movie. So, yeah, man. And you know, I grew up watching those movies and just being – it was Beta back then, Beta and VHS. Yeah. That's how we would watch them on the VHS tapes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, you know, the Pet Cemeteries, the Omen, The Exorcist, mm-hmm. the original. It's got crazy, bro. Like, I couldn't sleep for days. Or even like, you want to get dark? You want to get really dark?
Uh-oh, here we go.
You want nightmares? There was this show, this movie. It was called Faces of Death. I don't know if you guys remember that. Faces of Death. Look it up. It's crazy. For all the viewers and the people that are watching this, if you're from the 80s, you remember going into the section and in the video video stores, like the little mom and pop video stores, and they had Faces of Death. Like,
I remember this.
You remember that?
Yep, I remember that.
Oh, yeah. Bro, I saw a picture of it.
That was the craziest. So, yeah, okay, I'm going from kids' books to Faces of Death. How ironic, ladies and gentlemen. He's into horror films and he likes making kids' books.
Yeah, that's crazy. I love all that stuff. I like being scared. I like all those things. And that's kind of what got us into the show, too, is we wanted to tell stories, but we also wanted to, like tell the scarier stories, right? And I know our listeners have heard this before, but like our grandmother, she told me a story. Gabe still hasn't asked her.
Granny, no, I need to ask Granny about the story.
You know, my uncle's here and he was here for a while. His family still lives on the res, so he's talking to me. He's like, oh, so your show's going well? I'm like, yeah, it's about, you know, horror stuff and, you know, Indian stuff. And he's like, okay. He goes, oh, Granny hasn't told you the story? And I'm like, what story? And she said, well, my mom and dad were at the dance hall and your grandfather, he would drink a lot and he was a womanizer. And I'm like, okay, I think I know where this is going. Right. So she said that he was dancing with this woman and, he got this like weird feeling over himself and he got scared and he looked down and she had deer hooves for the feet. Right.
Really?
And, yeah. The deer lady. And I knew what she was talking about, but she kind of never really told us about kind of that stuff.
Yeah.
And, so they go home, you know, my great grandmother and my great grandfather, they go home and my great grandmother tells him, she says, I know what happened. And he looks at her and he says, what? And she says, you saw her feet. And he says, yeah, I did. And she says, that's because you were being bad and, you know, you do this and the lady's going to come and get you. And I told him the whole story or whatever. And my grandma's telling me this and I'm like, man, that's amazing that my granny has this story to tell us. But it's something like that. Yeah, like a firsthand like experience with something like that. And he kind of calmed down his drinking. He kind of, you know, subdued his attitude and stopped being a foolish person. Which is good, but that's why we wanted to do these stories, because we love horror, we love all that stuff, and this kind of scary stories, we were kind of pitching this where it's the scary stories kind of keep you, but normally what we do is whatever we talk about the history of the tribe that it's that the story it's affiliated with, right? So we bring them in with the scariness, but we're going to teach them a lesson as well, right? We're gonna bring them in with the history, and then people learn something, and turns out they like the history more than the horror sometimes, which is great because then they're educated.
Honestly, that's what I like about you guys, because I'm a history buff as well, dude. I get to travel the world with this beautiful blessing. And I'm the guy that's like going to museums and going to different monuments and, you know, on my days off, just trying to learn and immerse myself in the different regions that I'm in, the different countries, spaces, you know, just different spiritual backgrounds, whatever place I'm in, whether it's Buddhist or Muslim or Islam or Christianity. Like, I just want to learn, man. It doesn't mean that I agree with it.
Right.
It's just beautiful to be a student and to absorb and listen. Because we, you know, Creator gave us two ears and a mouth, but a lot of times we're always like wanting to interject everything, you know, and the reality is as I gotten older, I've learned to listen and just be a student and just immerse myself in wanting to find wisdom and make as much memory on the road as possible. Because for a long time, it was all about partying, you know, and I'm segueing into something that's very special to me. So I'm directing this to all the listeners, all the relatives and allies and everybody that's tuned in. So on March 29th, 2024, I'll be celebrating my 17 years of being sober.
Man, that's amazing.
And sobriety to me is sacred. I was I got caught up for many years. In my earlier years, when I had long hair, I was caught up, and I'm not embarrassed or ashamed to say it. Like, yes, I had a misstep. I was overdoing it, excessive. And in 2007, March 29th, March 27th, I got arrested, and it's facts. You could check it up. You know, I'm not embarrassed of that. It's like, we all have our moments of the lowest of the low. That was one of the lowest of the low. And I'm candid about it because I want people to get inspired. And if you have a relative or you're going through something like that, I want you to know that there are people like myself who, humbly, shed ego. I surrender ego so that I can share this information and share my testimony to inspire those that need the help, that need the healing, that need that good medicine. And so I advocate for my sobriety. I'm proud of it more than anything. Sobriety and my survivorship as a cancer survivor are my two biggest wins in life, victories in life, beyond being a husband and a father. Like, sobriety and survivorship, like, those are the miracles in my life. So I always want to acknowledge that. And I send love and I send good wishes and good medicine to those that are going through their personal issues. If you are, or if you know someone, please spread that love, spread that positivity, because we all need it. You're not alone. I don't want people to think is that, oh, this guy's a goody two shoes. He thinks he's too good. Muy chingon, muy chingon. No, in actuality, I'm saying that me, Jimmy Gomez, couldn't handle it. So my message as Jimmy Gomez to the world is sobriety is sacred for me. So if I can be that beacon of light and inspiration and motivate folks through my testimony, then that's what I want to give back. You know, that's from a humble space. That's something that is, it's personal, but I want to share that with the world. I want to share the fact that I champion the idea that I have been sober for 17 years because we are statistics, bro.
Yeah.
Kids on the res, kids in barrios and inner cities, people in the music business, we are just waiting for an overdose, for alcoholic binge. That's just very stereotypical. Mm-hmm. So for me to be like, no, I'm not going down that route because I went down that rabbit hole. Let me tell you about how I came out of that rabbit hole. So though hopefully, like I said earlier, if I can inspire one person, next thing you're inspiring the next person, next thing you're inspiring millions of people. And that's my gift. That's what I want to do, bro. That's where my eyes is. That's where my heart is. And that's where my mind is, because I see with the clear eyes. That moment of clarity was everything to me. And so that's why I'm very passionate about it. And I'm very detailed when it comes to that conversation.
Yeah. And if somebody can hear this and they're going through the same thing and they want to stop and they need to stop, like hopefully this resonates with them and helps them out, because that's what it's about.
Yeah. I wrote a book, but it wasn't a kid's book. I wrote a book called Fallen Up. It's on Amazon.com. And basically it was detailing and speaking on my misstep, because I spent most of my time falling down. Mm-hmm. And so with this idea of falling up, getting myself, you know, wiping my knees off from all the times that I was falling because I was drunk or intoxicated, I needed to tell my story and to motivate folks. So I'm going to show you right now, Fallen Up. It's on Amazon, and this is it right here.
Oh yeah,
you can see that.
Okay,
over.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good.
Can you see that right there? Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can see it. And we'll
it's on Amazon.
And we'll post in our show notes too. We'll post a link to all of your books and all of your stuff on our show notes, so people can check that out too. And we'll post pictures on our Instagram.
Yeah, that's important, because we don't talk about it enough. We don't talk about health and wellness enough, which is something that's very important, you know, just preserving the idea of taking care of ourselves and wanting to be better versions of ourselves for the youth, mm-hmm. to inspire. I have kids, bro. I want my kids to see me. I'm going to be 50 in next year.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, man. So, like, I want to take care of myself. And battling cancer was a bitch, dude.
Yeah.
I almost died, bro. So
yeah, that's a scary thing.
So when I think about that, when I think about that time period, it was like there was no black eyed peas. There was no superhero strength. It was like, nah, you're going to die.
Yeah, this is Jimmy and looking at life. This is what's up.
This is what's up. The chemotherapy, if it doesn't work, you're going into radiation. If that doesn't work, it's going to keep on spreading from your back and your two lymph nodes, your spine, to your lungs, eventually to your brain, and you will be gone. You'll be a memory.
Yeah.
And so that all just came into play, came into a self-realization that life is too short. I don't have time to beef with anybody. I don't have time to be hating on anybody. I don't want to do that, bro. I want to leave with love, because if I die tomorrow, like, what's the last thing people remember of me? Being a dick? Being an asshole? Yeah. Nah, I want to leave with love. I want to be a good example to the youth. And that's important, because we don't have a lot of examples for the youth. And if I'm one person that could take on that role and responsibility from my kids, then that's what I want to do, because it starts at home.
Yeah, sure. It really does. It really does. And I mean, and a lot of things that people don't also talk about is we're very big advocates for mental health.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I've had my struggles getting out of the military. Like, I went to the military right after 9/11. And, you know, deploy, you have issues when you get back, right? You don't feel disconnected. You have just a bunch of problems and not really focusing on your mental health and thinking you're too strong for help. And I think that's a big problem, is it's that macho attitude where I can handle this by myself. Sometimes you need help. And we're very big advocates for mental health, for therapy. Mm-hmm. If you guys need therapy, reach out to somebody, talk to somebody, because it really does help. And I'm in therapy, and I'm not ashamed to say that. It really helps me out. It kind of, sometimes you feel like you're looking through fogged glass, and just talking it out with someone one-on-one, that's not going to be biased. It's not going to be someone who's going to judge you, non-judgmental, just a safe area where you could talk to someone. It kind of lifts everything up, and then you start living in the moment. And you start seeing, like, look, my life is beautiful. My life's amazing.
Yep.
I have an amazing wife. I have two kids. You know, I'm trying to get back into shape. I'm trying to get healthy again. You know, I'm trying to do all this stuff. And I want to be around. Like you said, you want to be around for your family. And you want to make a positive impact in your community as well. So that's a really amazing thing that you're doing, advocating for sobriety, for people who need it, and also for mental health and stuff like that.
Yeah, because, man.
You're not too big to ask for help.
No,
that's what I try to focus on my kids. I always tell them, like, look, being, you know, I tell my son, like, being a man it also means you need to ask for help sometimes.
Yes, sir.
Because you need to shed that kind of macho attitude and need to ask for help. And if you're wrong, guess what? Put your big boy pants on and say, I'm wrong. Be man enough to say you're wrong. Be human enough to say, I'm wrong. It's okay to not have all the answers, like you said earlier in the show. It's okay to be learning. Sometimes you mess up, you stumble, but guess what? We're all here to lift each other up, and we're all going to be here for each other. Like, we're here, we're a community. Yeah. And this is amazing having you on the
Thanks,
show.
Just man.
To hear yeah. your story and all that stuff. It's really awesome.
Thanks, man.
And for you to be someone like that in the position where you're at and voice your views on life and family mm-hmm. and stuff. That's an amazing, beautiful thing.
Well, this is the message that I want the world to know, especially in any country, is like, you know, there's a perception that when you have made it in whatever entertainment that you lose track of where you come from. Actually, I feel like I'm going back into the zone that I should be in. Like, the fact that I have last couple, I want to say like since 2000, since the time that I battled cancer, like I've really been focusing on being a difference and making a difference. Because before I didn't realize it, man, like when I was my early years with Black Eyed Peas, I was proud of my ancestry, but I didn't know how to be a voice. Right. I didn't know what my mm-hmm. calling was. Like, what's your purpose? What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just going to figure it out, right? We go through these like trials yeah. and tribulations and like, it's about me. I'm going to make money. I'm going to do this career thing, my family. But then you get to a point where you're like, oh, wait a minute. There's something bigger than me. Now it's like, I'm seeing ways to open doors for we, right? It's what Lily Gladstone says. She's like, I kicked the door open so that everybody else, the next people can start coming through, right?
Yeah.
And so that's how I see it too, is like, it started with the Mag 7 with the Standing Rock song. And then you go into like the comics and bringing all the relatives that are, I don't like to call them cultural consultants because that's not what they are. They're relatives to me, right? Yeah. But they're bringing the authentic representation.
Right.
You know, then you go into like, you know, Spirit Rangers and doing stuff mm-hmm. with my son, giving back to him, being part of this amazing project on Netflix. And now Dora the Explorer, giving back to my daughter and always wanting to amplify the youth. So that's the calling. It's like, now I've figured it out. Writing kids books, writing Marvel comics, doing animation. That's the contribution, because you're also empowering work for relatives. Indian country is, there's an economy and an ethos that I want to create where Indian country relatives can eat along with this hub, mm-hmm. this Indigenous Excellence Hub. If I'm eating, I want my relatives around Turtle Island to eat too. And so if that's animation, if that's the music space, if that's videos, feature film, podcast, all of that, I want to be immersed in it so that we can all celebrate and we can all be champions together.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing. That's really awesome that you have this, this idea and this goal, because, you know, we should all share it. That's just something we should all share in, and we should all give back and help out.
Yeah. It's an amazing mentality.
And whatever capacity we can, fellas, whatever capacity we can, because not everybody's going to be able to have a platform like you guys. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's going to have a platform like me, but whatever ways that we can help others and not bring us down, like, that's the most important thing. That's where I'm at. Cause you know, people ask you like, why now? Why not? It's never too late.
No,
yeah. It's never too late. It's never too late to be an advocate. It's never too late to want to affect change. It's never too late to actually find solutions and be part of the solutions, not be a problem mm-hmm. because you're jealous or you're envious or you want to just like clown because you're a comedian or a clown. It's like, okay, cool. I get it. Like, there's a lot of people that will try to bring you down and try to like, you know, separate us. But at the end of the day, it's like, no, I want to unite us. I want to bring us to the party. Everybody's going to sit at the party and we're all going to rock together. We're all going to stand up and cheer and have a good time and celebrate. And that's the reality.
Thank you for being on the show. This is an amazing thing. One last thing. Yeah. 100%. One last thing. Mm-hmm. What do you have to say to the Indigenous community? If you have anything left to say, what's one thing you could leave our people with?
First of all, I want to say I appreciate the love and support that you guys have given me personally on welcoming me into these different communities that I've been blessed to travel in and be a part of. I've visited a lot of great communities throughout Indian country. I'm just proud to be a voice. I'm proud to be a student and to continue learning from you guys. You know, I love and appreciate each moment that we can share, whether it's podcast, whether it's in person, in real time, at shows, at Comic-Con, you know, at different events, Illuminative, Unity, Native Nations March, all these events, Indigenous Peoples Day. I just want to say thank you guys. Y también a todos los parientes que son indígenas de Sudamérica y México, mando un saludo, orgullo. Muchas gracias. Mexica te aui.
Man, that was amazing. So thank you, Jimmy Gomez, Taboo, everybody. This is an amazing human being, an amazing person. Thank you for being on our show. And we appreciate you just reaching out and just, you know, anytime you want to be back on the show, you can message us. You could jump back in.
Yeah,
any new welcome. Things you're going with, any Thanks. New activities, events or whatever, you could jump on our show. We appreciate you. Family forever, man. You're our family. Love you. Appreciate
Thank you, bro. I want to shout out you guys for putting it down. And, you know, all the things that you guys are doing to keep the media out there for Indigenous representation, very authentic. Even though it's scary, we're still learning stuff. Mm-hmm. We love you guys as a duo. Continue loving each other as brothers and as partners. Never separate this. Never divide this amazing energy that you guys have, because you're doing it. And you don't know how many people you're inspiring, man. Just being yourself, just bringing that love and that inspiration through your love as brothers. So don't ever stop doing this, because we love you, man, and we appreciate you.
Thank you, that means so much to us. We're the best of friends. This has been this has been one of those things where I got to have a best friend, because mm-hmm. we're 6 years apart. When I came back from the military, there was all this disconnect and stuff, and now I feel like I have a new relationship with my brother and a very strong, powerful relationship. We're proud of it. So having you said that, that's an amazing thing, and we appreciate you.
Yes.
Man, so was that an amazing episode or what?
Yeah. Jimmy's an amazing person. Everything that he had to talk about. Just so many things that he's done and accomplished just blows my mind.
Yeah, and all the struggles and adversities he's been through. I mean, he's standing up to be an advocate for mental health and also sobriety. I mean, mm-hmm. some people struggle with sobriety. I mean, our people, we've been known to have issues with sobriety, whether it's because of living conditions, mental health issues, whatever it might be. But you know, sometimes you need to understand that it, you know, sobriety's not for everybody, but there's a few of us who know that, you know, we just got to cut this nonsense out. So if that's you and he can advocate for you, that's an amazing thing. And also, you know, just going to Standing Rock and just standing there, not as Taboo, but as Jimmy Gomez, just as mm-hmm. a person, and understanding that it's okay to not have all the answers, right? It's okay to say, you know, I'm learning, I'm on a journey as well. Like, a lot of our culture has been taken from us, and there's a lot of gatekeepers out there that say you're not good enough, but you know what? You are good enough.
Yeah. And I just think it's awesome that he's bringing so much to the table as an Indigenous artist, especially with his writing and being able to work with companies such as Marvel, Nickelodeon, like these massive companies that have their, you know, pick, they can pick whoever they want, and they picked him because, you know, he's talented and he brings a lot to the table. So I really think that's amazing that he has that opportunity to put Indigenous representation in comic books and voiceover work and stuff like that. That's just amazing.
So make sure to please check out some of his books. There's the book that he wrote for his kids that we talked about in the show, a kid's book about identity, Kids mm-hmm. Are Ready. And that's by Jimmy Gomez. I'm going to have all the links for all of his stuff, comic books.
Yeah.
On the bottom of the show notes, so make sure you check that out as well. If you want to check out his autobiography, it's titled Falling Up, My Story, Taboo, Black Eyed Peas. So we'll have that as well in the show notes where you can find that. I think you can find it on Amazon and stuff. So make sure you check some of that stuff out as well. And, you know, we're here to support Indigenous people, Indigenous artists, and Indigenous communities. Mm-hmm. It's not only about talking about the horrific atrocities that have been done to our people, but it's also to lift each other up. Right. So there's some amazing things that Jimmy has to say, and we appreciate him being on the show. And who knows, maybe when he has some new things going on, new projects in the works, he'll come back. So it was a really amazing opportunity. We appreciate it. And I mean, all the love in the world goes out for this man and everything he's accomplished.
Yeah. And, you know, we really appreciate all of our listeners for bringing us this far in our journey on this podcast, because of all of you, we had this opportunity to interview this amazing person, to have him on our show and, you know, giving us our platform. So hopefully this opens doors for more people to come onto our show and just give you guys a better podcast to listen to. So thank you.
And if you guys have any suggestions or know anybody who would like to be interviewed or has something going on that's an Indigenous person that helps out in the communities, feel free to shoot us a DM or send it to info@beheelnetwork.com mm-hmm. with the connection, and maybe we can make it work, hopefully. And this goes for anybody in the Indigenous community. Yeah. So make sure you do that as well.
Yeah, I know having someone like Jimmy on our show is like setting the bar kind of high, but you don't need to be like this multi-platinum award-winning person to be on our show. You know, we welcome any kind of guest on our show.
Oh yeah, for sure. So you can listen to all the stuff on top. Make sure you get in on the giveaway. I'm not going to say all that stuff. You go back to the front of the show if you want free stickers. Make sure you follow us, share this episode on your social media to make sure we could get more people in to interview and help out. So until next time, I'm Joseph.
And I'm Gabriel.
You'll be remembered by the tracks you leave.
And remain close to the Great Spirit.
Man, that was a pretty dope interview.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
Starstruck.
Yeah. Go Spider-Man. Bye.
If you're not spiritually connected to the earth and understand the spiritual...